Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As we greet you on this, the 10th, 17, 18, 19, 20th day, the 20th day of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, I hope I've counted correctly, from the studios of the Islamic Broadcasting Network in this, my native island of Trinidad, with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jumma was the 10th, so Jumma the 17th, Saturday 18th, today is the 19th day, sorry, the 19th day of Dhul-Hijjah. And I was ill for the last two sessions. I could not deliver them because I had an eye infection, which is now cleared up. And then the following Sunday, I had dizziness, I couldn't drive. I'm 80 years of age now. And alhamdulillah, I can still continue to do the work that I'm doing. And we thank Allah who has blessed me to do this work. And we ask that He kindly accept my humble service in the mission of truth. And today we return to the subject of Hagia Sophia. I would have liked to speak on another subject, but it's not possible. All right. So Hagia Sophia, and this is my third response. And I must enter into the record that I have found only one people in the entire Christian world, only one people who have responded so authentically, so genuinely, with such pain and suffering over the conversion the second time that Hagia Sophia has been converted to a masjid. And this was the people of Greece. That are all the church bells in Greece were all ringing in sorrow and pain. No other Orthodox Christian people responded the way the Greek people responded. And so I have decided that I want to go and visit Greece, inshallah. May Allah make it possible. And some of our viewing audience might ask, who is Hagia Sophia? What is Hagia Sophia? Because people live busy lives and they don't have time. They may not have listened to the earlier lectures. So there is an honest answer to the question, what or who is Hagia Sophia? And there is a false and dishonest answer. Hagia Sophia is not a museum which was converted to a masjid. That's false, and that is dishonest. Rather, Hagia Sophia is a Christian cathedral. It is the most important Orthodox Christian cathedral in the world, and it remained like that for more than 1,000, almost 1,000 years. It is the most important, of course, after Jerusalem. And this major cathedral, Hagia Sophia, House of Wisdom, when it had functioned for almost 1,000 years as a supreme house of worship, the Orthodox Christian world, when in 1453, the Ottoman Empire waged bogus jihad, and I will give the evidence that it was bogus jihad, and then conquered Constantinople in violation of Allah's command in the Quran. Let me repeat that. When the Ottoman Empire conquered Constantinople in violation of Allah's command in the Quran, the first thing that the Ottoman Sultan did, a man who is universally praised by by so many Muslims as someone who is praised by Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, but Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam praised him, which is false. This man, the Sultan Muhammad Fatih, the first thing that he did when he conquered the city of Constantinople was to take this Orthodox cathedral and converted it to a masjid. And that was not by accident, not at all. Nor was it by accident that the Ottoman Empire waged bogus jihad on Orthodox Christian world for 600 years. Why did this take place? If you study eschatology, the study of the end times, then you will recognize that the Ottoman Empire did this in order to drive a dagger deep, deep, deep down into the hearts of the Orthodox Christian world, that there will never be any possibility of fraternity, of reconciliation, of friendship and alliance and love between the Ummah of Muhammad, the community of people who follow Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Ummah of Jesus, the community of people who follow Jesus. These are the two people on the face of the earth who now believe as an article of faith that Jesus will return. These two. Nobody else believes in this as a part of the religious belief. And so it is but natural that these two people should come together in Akhiru Zaman. And what the Ottoman Empire did was to try to sabotage this. And that's why, that is the reason why the Ottoman Empire did what it did, in violation of Allah's command in the Quran. Where does the Quran speak on this subject? What does the Quran have to say on churches and cathedrals and synagogues and masajid? Masajid is the plural of masjid. I have to translate the Arabic terms because you have a large number of Christians who are listening to this lecture. They are in Russia, they're in Greece, they're in Serbia, they're in other parts of the Balkans and so on, and other parts of the world. And they are fascinated by what they're hearing. They're probably hearing it for the first time because nobody ever preached religion to them that came with the Quran. Nobody preached it properly to them. And so they're hearing it for the first time. And some of them are even translating my lectures now, putting in Greek subtitles so that the Greek people can listen and understand what I'm saying. Whoever is doing that, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. What does the Quran say? And remember, the Quran has absolute truth for a Muslim. A Muslim cannot search for truth anywhere else as absolute but in the Quran. And the Quran says that Muslims, that if Allah, the one God, if he had not caused some people to restrain others, to fight against them, then the churches and the synagogues and the cathedrals and the masajid would have been destroyed. And these are houses of worship in which Allah's name is frequently mentioned. Allah's name is frequently mentioned in the church. Allah's name is frequently mentioned in the cathedral. Allah's name is frequently mentioned in the synagogue. This is what the Quran says. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا. You cannot avoid this command in the Quran that you have to fight if necessary to protect Hagia Sophia. Make sure it remains a cathedral. Fight if you have to do so to protect it. And instead what they did was to convert it to a masjid. It was shameful, it was disgraceful, it was manifestly sinful, and if you refuse to accept that, and if you continue with this nonsense that they had the right to do it, because you recognize truth, absolute truth, to be elsewhere, and you disregard the Quran, then what is the price you will pay? Can a hadith contradict the Quran? Can fiqh or Islamic law contradict the Quran? Illustrious scholars giving lectures and fatwa supporting the conversion of the masjid, the cathedral, to a masjid based on fiqh, on Islamic law. Can Islamic law be in conflict with the Quran? Can a hadith be in conflict with the Quran? What is the price you will pay on Judgment Day if you betray the Quran, if you betray truth? Allah speaks in Surah Al-Mulk, or this one, this verse which commands you to fight to protect that cathedral is in Surah Al-Hajj. And in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah speaks of people who are in the hellfire. And they say, this is what they say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعَقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If we used to listen, but most people don't want to listen today, when what they listen to is something uncomfortable for them. If we used to listen, and if we used to think, to ponder, to use our rational faculty, we wouldn't be in the hellfire today. That is the fate which is awaiting those who betray the Quran. So the Orthodox Christian world must be happy, very happy now, to hear that the Quran has ordered Muslims to fight, if necessary, to protect their cathedral, rather than to transform it to a masjid. Where does the Quran speak about the function of the state with respect to the houses of God? Because Turkey is a state. It's not only a state, it is a member state of NATO. And today we'll point out to you that Allah prohibits that in the Quran. And so Turkey has no credentials to be a great leader of the world of Islam when you're a member of NATO. But the schoolboy doesn't know that. Allah speaks in the Quran, and he's addressing the angels. And this is the first page of human history, the very first page of human history. And he says to the angels that I'm going to place on earth one who will be my Khalifa. Who is Khalifa? What is Khalifa? Shall we ask CNN to answer that, or the New York Times? Shall we ask some Mufti or some Maulana? No, ask the Quran. Let the Quran answer the question. Allah is appointing a Khalifa on earth. And we want to know what is the meaning of this word, Khalifa. The angels already knew something about the subject, because they responded and said, but how are we going to do that? Why would you do that which will cause bloodshed and corruption on earth, this Khalifa? So the angels already had some knowledge, because Allah had given them some knowledge. But he responded and he said, but I know what you don't know, because he had not given them full knowledge of the subject. No, they didn't know what we know because of the Quran. And then came the time when Allah spoke to David. David, in Arabic, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. Nabi means a prophet, someone who prophesies, Nabi. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, the prophet David. And this is what he said to David. Ya Dawood, O David, Inna ja'allaka khalifatan fil ard. We are hereby appointing you as khalifa. Oh, here is the word, khalifa. We are hereby appointing you as khalifa on earth. So now, what are the functions of khalifa? The state of Turkey, better listen carefully. What are the functions of khalifa? Who is khalifa? What is khalifa? The Quran continues to say, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Establish the state. Establish government. Establish governance. Establish rule. Establish law on the basis of truth. Truth. So where does truth come from? We'll come to that in a moment. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَىٰ. And do not follow your own agenda. In parliament, usually. Do not follow your own agenda. فَيَدِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Because if you follow your own thinking, your own agenda, it will cause you to be misguided from the way of Allah. Now listen to the next part of the verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُدِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَدِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. For those who depart from the way of Allah in this matter of the state, of the government, of rule, of governance, of law, for those who depart from the way of Allah, for them there is terrible punishment because they forgot the day of accounts. That is the Quran. And so the state must function on the basis of the truth which has come from Allah. The Ottoman Empire said that they were functioning in accordance with the truth which came from Allah. But the truth which came from Allah told them that you cannot fight an enemy who wants peace. That's what the truth said. And the Ottoman Empire spent years preparing to conquer Constantinople. Why? Because there's a prophecy of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam that a Muslim army will conquer Constantinople. So they spent years preparing to conquer Constantinople, not knowing or disregarding the fact that the conquest of Constantinople prophesied by Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam comes after the Great War, the Malhama or Armageddon. Even a schoolboy knows that Armageddon has not taken place as yet. The Malhama has not taken place as yet. Ayyub, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Al-Ansari, the companion of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, would tell you the Malhama has not taken place as yet. So how come you can conquer Constantinople now? Would that be the prophecy fulfilled? No. So they prepared themselves for years to conquer Constantinople. Until they had Constantinople besieged, the patriarch in Constantinople had lost all his territories and he only had the city. That's all. And they surrounded the city with about 200,000 men. And he only had about 9,000 men in the city to defend it. And he did not want to fight. No. He offered to pay a tribute, which he had been doing in the past. But the Ottoman Sultan rejected that. And he betrayed the Quran. Let me repeat it. He betrayed the Quran. He violated Allah's command in the Quran, which said, do not fight an enemy who wants peace. وَإِنْ جَنَّهُ لِسَّلْمِ فَجْنَهْ لَهَا. And so the conquest of Constantinople by the Ottoman Empire was in violation of truth. And Allah says, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Establish your state and the conduct of state on the basis of truth. And if you depart from that, terrible punishment awaits you because you forget the day of accounts. This is the Lord God who created us all and in whose hands is our lives and for whom we answer in the grave as well. And of course, when he conquered Constantinople, again he violated truth when he took the cathedral and transformed it to a masjid. This is truth. Truth comes from the Quran. And if you betray the Quran, then there's a price for that. Nabi Muhammad prophesied that amongst his people there will be those who will betray the Quran. Ya Rab, he said, this is Surah Al-Furqan, Inna qawmi takhazu haza al-Qur'an mahjura. My people have forsaken this Quran. That's what they're doing today in supporting the Turkish government in its sinful decision to convert the cathedral for the second time to a masjid, and all the sheep and the cattle are supporting it without thinking and departing from the Quran. لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعَكِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيِ. You are deferring with me now? Wait on Judgment Day. This cathedral belongs to the Christian people. That's right. It's a Christian cathedral. And today, I've already spent so much time. Today, I want to ask, what is our relationship with the Christian people? What does the Quran say about our relationship with the Christian people? The Quran says, you must believe in the books which came down to them. You have to believe. It's an article of faith. You must believe in the Torah. You must believe in the Gospel. You must believe in the Psalms of David. The Christians are going to be astonished when they listen to this from me, because nobody taught them about this. The Quran says, their food is lawful for you. Ta'amuhum hillul lakum wa ta'amukum hillul lahum. And your food is lawful for them. So Allah is building a bond between us, and you trying the best as you can to destroy that bond. What kind of people are you? Allah says you can marry their woman. But when you marry their woman, you have to respect their Christian faith. She must be given the freedom to live as a Christian. The Quran speaks and says, when you dispute with them, when you have any religious discussion with a Christian or a Jew, Allah says, do it in the best way possible. Do it in the most courteous way possible. Do it in the most refined way possible. Not with boxing gloves to see who will win the debate. Wait for Judgment Day to see what's going to be your fate for having violated Allah's command in the Quran. But Allah says something more. And in my last lecture, I spent a long time with it. I can't spend that much time today. He speaks in Surah Al-Ma'idah. I have lots of verses of the Quran, but you're not patient enough to listen to me. You believe that I base everything on one verse. Allah speaks in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Al-Ma'idah, they ask Jesus to bring down a table in with cooked food. It's called the Last Supper, I think. And this surah of the Quran is named after that Last Supper, Al-Ma'idah, a table laden with food which came down from heaven. And in this surah of the Quran, surah means chapter. In this surah, but surah means a wall which separates one from the other. In this surah of the Quran, Allah speaks of a Christian people who will be closest in love and affection for Muslims. Would they be Greek? Would they be Russians? Would they be Serbs? I don't use these terms. The Quran is speaking of a Christian people, not a Greek people, not a Russian people, not a Serbian people. They're talking about Christians. And I recognize the two words of Christianity, one of the East and one of the West. You may recognize other words as well. These are the two main words. and they both came out of Constantinople. One world is called the Orthodox Christian world, and the other is the Western world. And in the Western world, Rome dominated the Vatican. And then came the Protestant movement and so on. And the Quran therefore speaks of a Christian people who will be closest in love and affection for you. So who are these Christian people? We know about one Christian people with whom we are prohibited from maintaining friendly ties. Who are they? Allah speaks in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the table laden with food. And he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have faith, La tattakhizu al-yahuda wa al-nasara awliya, ba'aduhum awliya wa ba'd. Do not take such Jews, and do not take such Christians as your friends and allies, ba'aduhum awliya wa ba'd, who are themselves friends and allies of each other. This verse could not be saying, don't take all Christians as your friends and allies. Don't take all Jews as your friends and allies. No, that's a schoolboy. Don't take such Jews and such Christians as your friends and allies, who themselves are friends and allies of each other. The Quran is telling us that in time to come, there will be reconciliation between part of the Christian world and part of the Jewish world. And a Judeo-Christian alliance would emerge. Today that has come into being in the Zionist Judeo-Christian alliance, which has NATO as its military arm and Turkey as a member state of NATO. I know it's a bone in your throat, but I can't help it. If Turkey will remain in NATO until the Great War, Turkey will never leave NATO until the Great War. And when the Great War takes place, Turkey will be fighting with NATO. Wait and you'll see. Wait and you will see. Ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'd. Don't take such Christians and such Jews as your friends and allies, who are friends and allies of each other. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ Whosoever from amongst you turn to them with friendship and alliance, like the Turkish government. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ You don't belong to us anymore, you belong to them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ And Allah does not provide guidance to a wicked people, and that's what they are. They are a wicked people. They commit oppression. The greatest oppressors in the world today. And the United States of America, those who control power in the United States of America, are the greatest oppressors that mankind has ever known. And so those who will be closest in friendship and alliance to us could not be this Christian world, which was in alliance with the Jewish world. So then who are they? Allah says they will be closest in friendship and alliance to you. Who are they? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ Number one, they proclaim that they are Christian, so they're not a secularized people. Their primary loyalty is to their faith. They're not secularized. Number two, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ كِسِّسِينَ وَرُهْبَانَ وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ Number two, they have the institution of the priesthood intact, and the priest commands respect in the society. Number three, they have the institution of monasticism, the monastery of Kosovo, the monk, the monastic way of life. When I go to Greece, I want to visit the monasteries. And number four, they are not an arrogant people, meaning they don't want to rule the world. These want to rule the world, but not them. So who are these Christian people who will be closest in love and affection for us? The answer is, it is not for us to decide. It is for us to wait until that event occurs, which Allah has told us will come. You will see them becoming closest in love and affection for us. And if at that time you still have hatred in your heart for them, even though they are showing love and affection for you, you deserve the fate that awaits you. Oh yes, you deserve the fate that awaits you. So here you are. These are a people who will become closest in love and affection for us, Christian people. And who are they? I have offered my opinion, but I've always said, do not accept my opinion until you are convinced that I am correct. I don't want parrots following me. My teacher taught me this way. And he used to stand up in the classroom, Maulana Dr. Muhammad Fadlur Rahman Ansari Rahimahullah. And he used to say, I'm proud of Imran because when I'm dead, he won't be a parrot simply mechanically repeating whatever I have said. That's Darul Uloom education, not the education I got. So I respect your capacity for thinking. And so I don't want you to accept my opinion unless you are correct. You're convinced that I am correct. And my opinion is that it is the Orthodox Christian world that Allah is speaking of. Despite what has happened in the past, the Orthodox Christian world will eventually become closest in love and affection for us. And that is why Hagia Sophia is so important. Hagia Sophia is what binds us together, the Orthodox Christian world and the world which truly follows Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, not NATO. That it is this cathedral that both of us are attached to. They are attached to Hagia Sophia so much that all the church bells in Greece were ringing in pain and sorrow when they took the cathedral for the second time and made it a masjid. That's the pain they were suffering in Greece. Tears, singing in pain and sorrow for Hagia Sophia. And you were celebrating? Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you, celebrating while they are weeping. This is Hagia Sophia. And it is Hagia Sophia which will bring us back together. Now let's go to the prophecy before we return to the Christian world. Our prophet said that a Muslim army will conquer Constantinople. لَتَفْتَحَنَّ الْكُنْسْتَنْتِنِيَ You will most certainly conquer Constantinople. وَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا وَلَنِعْمَ الْجَيْشُ ذَلِكَ الْجَيْشُ And he praised the army, and he praised the commander, and all the sheep, and all the cattle, and all the camels, and all the goats, who refused to think, recognize this is what happened in 1453, that the fulfillment of prophecy took place in 1453. And when I try to teach them that you are wrong, correct them, they respond with all kind of vile comments, disrespect, disgraceful comments. They don't even know how to conduct a civilized, respectful dialogue. They don't even know how to differ with each other respectfully. But Allah refers to them. He says, وَلَقَدْ زَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ He says, huge numbers are destined for the hellfire. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have hearts, but they don't understand. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ They are just like cattle. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ They're worse than cattle. And so they are celebrating, and these are weeping. But Hagia Sophia is going to bring us together when that army conquers Constantinople. When will it conquer Constantinople? We explained it in the last lecture, that it is only after the Great War, after Armageddon, after Jerusalem has come to center stage in the world and Medina is in forlorn desolation, which is now, this is now, not 1453. When the Great War then takes place, then after that, within 7 years, the conquest of Constantinople will take place. And you still stay, yeah, you still sticking with that stupidness, that stupidity, that the conquest of Constantinople prophesied by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, was fulfilled in 1453. What is the price you're going to pay for being so stupid and foolish? Now, when the conquest of Constantinople comes, and it is coming, and my Orthodox Christian world out there is listening to me, I am your brother. I am your brother, and I'm teaching you the Quran. And I'm teaching what our Prophet said. And you are smiling now because they never taught this to you. You are smiling now. And when the conquest of Constantinople does take place after the Great War, that we will return Hagia Sophia to you. That is why a Muslim army has to conquer Constantinople. Yes, because Constantinople is the bridge that binds us together. Hagia Sophia is the bridge that binds us together. The Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and the Ummah of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. We will return Hagia Sophia to you. And when we return Hagia Sophia to you, your hearts will melt. Now then, so much for the conquest of Constantinople. Who are these Christians who are so attached to Hagia Sophia and who are weeping now because of what you did? NATO's member state, of course. Provocation. Provocation, like what happened in Beirut. What happened in Beirut is preparatory for what is to come. Yes. They knew when they fired that missile, they knew that there was that dump of flammable material lying there. They knew it will ignite it and there'll be a huge explosion. They knew that. And they did this in order to demoralize people, to prepare the way for the greater attack which is to come. I suspect, may Allah grant that I'm wrong, I suspect it's another, what's his name? Qasim Soleiman, who was assassinated. I suspect there's a bigger one coming, and it's coming in Iran. But let's get on out of the subject. The Christian people must be told, what does the Quran say about them? I won't be able to complete the subject today, but I want the Orthodox Christian world to listen carefully to what the Quran has to say about you. When you hear what the Quran says about you, your hearts will melt. This is what the Quran says. It says that Jesus is to be crucified, and he does not know what is to happen. We don't subscribe to that fancy story, that Nancy story, that fictitious misbelief that someone else, that Allah caused someone else to assume the appearance of Jesus and he was crucified. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. For the third time, that is rubbish, this theory of substitution. No, Allah will never do such a thing. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Conflict with the Quran. That Allah is, he's about to be crucified, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. And Allah speaks to him. He does not know what's going to happen. No, he does not know. And Allah says to him, and the conversation is in the Quran. It is recorded in the Quran. You don't know about it. But he knows, because it is his conversation with Jesus. And he says, Ya Isa, O Jesus, Inni mutawaffik, I'm going to take your soul. That is the only honest explanation of the verse. The rest are dishonest. I'm going to take your soul. If Allah takes the soul and does not return it, you're dead. But Allah said they did not kill him. They did not crucify him. No. Rather, it was made to appear as such. Walakin shubbiha lahum. It was made to appear as such. So then, if Allah took his soul, what happened after that? If Allah did not return the soul, he's dead. So therefore, can Allah take a soul and return it? Of course, he says so in Surah Az-Zumar. So this is what happened. Allah took his soul and returned it. But you don't know that because Allah did not want you to know that. No. Allah made it appear that he was killed, that he was crucified. That's what Allah appeared, made it appear like that. And then Allah says, وَرَافِيُكَ إِلَيِّ And I'm going to raise you unto myself. Can the human body be raised into the other dimensions of creation? Allah is fa'alu lima yurid. Scientific method can't deal with that which lies beyond the material universe. No? And this is beyond the material universe. Allah is fa'alu lima yurid. Allah could transform the human material body into something transcendental and then raise him. And that's what happened. And so Allah, Jesus is with Allah. He is with Allah. He's not in heaven. He's with Allah. That's where he is. وَمُطَحِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And I'm going to cleanse you of what they have, this kufr, this rejection of faith which they have hurled upon you. And that's what he's done today, because they cannot utter the words they used to utter about him in the past. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ This is the part of the verse like a bone in the neck of those who will not think. And I am going to cause those who follow you, O Jesus. I am going to cause, are you listening in Athens? Are you listening in Thessaloniki? I'm going to cause those who follow you, O Jesus, to be raised above and dominant over those who rejected you, which is NATO, which is the Judeo-Christian Alliance, which is the West. I'm going to cause these to be raised to a position of dominance over them, and therefore the dominant force in the world. Because these are today the dominant force in the world. This is Gog and Magog. And when I raise you, the followers of Jesus, to that position of dominance, you will remain there dominant until the end of the world. We don't need you to identify them. Forget it. Allah will do it. And you will open your eyes and you will see these people dominating in the world. You will then open your eyes and you'll see what you want. You don't want to see, but you'll see it. That a Christian people who follow Jesus will become the dominant force in the world and remain in that position of dominance until the end of the world. And these are the people who are weeping for Hagia Sophia today. That's my first message to you in the Orthodox Christian world, and I am teaching the Quran, and you can't stop me from teaching the Quran. If I am wrong, come on, tell me what is right. Having spoken from Surah Al-Ma'idah to tell the Christian people something about themselves in the Quran that they did not know, they're hearing it for the first time, and their hearts are melting now. Melting when they're hearing what Allah has said about them in the Quran. Allah speaks again in the Quran. We only have a little time left now. I won't be able to complete this subject today. And Allah says that He helped them. And because of help which came from them, they were victorious. Not once, but twice. Where does He say that? About the Christian people. He calls them Rum, and the whole surah of the Quran is named after them, a Christian people who is called Rum, who are called Rum in the Quran. Excuse me. A Christian people who are known in the Quran as Rum, and they were defeated. And Allah says, the defeat took place in a land close by, so that can't be Chicago. A land close by to this land in which the Quran is revealed. But Allah went on to say that after this defeat, within a few years, they will be victorious. This is an event which has not as yet taken place at the time that the Quran was revealed. This is an event that is prophesied to take place within a few years of the revelation of the Quran. So it should not be difficult to identify who is Rum. The answer is Rum is Constantinople. Rum is Constantinople. I ask you, I don't have, my book is lying out there, Constantinople in the Quran. It's probably the first book written on this subject. If you would kindly go to my bookstore or go to my website, you can download the book free of charge. There is the bookstore, there's a website there, imranhussain.org, and the bookstore is imranhussain.com, that's right, the bookstore. You can order the book from the bookstore, or you can download the book from the website. Constantinople in the Quran. Siddiq, if you can find it in your file, yes, show the book, please. Constantinople in the Quran. Please read that book, Constantinople in the Quran. And in this book, we speak about Rum. Rum is Constantinople. Oh, yes. And Constantinople was defeated by the Persian Empire. And the defeat was such that it appears as though the Byzantine Empire in Constantinople would have collapsed, would have disappeared. That's how severe was the defeat. And at this time, when they're in the lowest possible state, revelation comes down that they're going to be victorious in just a few years' time. It sounded impossible, and yet it was fulfilled. وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بِدْعِ سِنِينَ. And then Allah went on to say, and this is precisely what happened. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. It is with Allah's help that these Christian people were victorious. It was with Allah's help. بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. So what were the beliefs of these Christian people? Answer, they already had the Trinity. Answer, they already worship Jesus as the Son of God. They have already done this, and Allah has condemned this in the Quran. Yes, His language is very strong. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ نَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Despite the very strong language in the Quran, condemning the Trinity, condemning the worship of Jesus as God and the Son of God, yet بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. With Allah's help, they were victorious. This is the Christian people. And then not only did Allah say that, He said about their victory, مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ, that they will have two victories, not one. The first one has already occurred, and the second one is still to occur. And I am of the opinion that the second one is synonymous with Qarnayn, the two Qarns of Surah Al-Kahf. So now let's turn to another verse of the Quran. The Christian people who are listening to me and who have love in their hearts for Jesus, and who have love in their hearts for Hagia Sophia, your hearts must be melting now to know that Allah has not only helped you with your first victory of Constantinople against the Persians, but Allah is going to help you a second time as well. What a second victory that is to come. And they are angry because of that. They have a bone in their neck when they hear this from the Quran. What kind of people are you? You're not faithful to the Quran. Submit to the Quran whether you understand it or you don't, once you recognize it as the word of Allah. Submit to the Quran whether you understand it or you don't, once you recognize it as the word of Allah. Understanding will come later. Now let's go to another verse of the Quran. I believe this is in Surah As-Saff, where Allah says, فَآمَنَ الطَّائِفَةُ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ وَكَفَرَ الطَّائِفَةُ. When Jesus came as the Messiah, part of the Israelite world accepted him and became eventually known as Nasara, the Christians. And part of the Israelite world rejected him and became known as Al-Yahud. The Quran, the definition in the Quran of Al-Yahud, the definition in the Quran of Al-Yahud is a people who rejected Jesus as the Messiah. You can have 100,000 other definitions for the word Yahud. I am concerned with the Quran. So there are two people who emerged from Banu Israel, the Israelite people. The one who accept Jesus as the Messiah, the one who reject him. And amongst these who have accepted him, Allah says, فَأَيَّدْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا ظَاهِرِينَ. Allah strengthened these people. And as a consequence, they became so powerful that they overcame these people. And they emerged victorious. And not only did this happen in the past, this is to happen again in the future. So now let's go to Qarnayn. I don't know whether we have enough time. In Surah Al-Kahf of the Quran, the Surah of the Cave, you know the cave? The rabbis had said to the Quraysh in Mecca, who sent a delegation, tell us, Rabbi, how can we tell whether this man is indeed a Nabi or a prophet, like unto Moses and Abraham? And the rabbi said, ask him these three questions, which only a prophet can answer. You can study all the books of history, you can't get the answer. Only a prophet knows the answer. And ask him about the great traveler who traveled to the two ends of the land. And this is Dhul-Qarnayn. The Quran gives the answer. Someone who has either two currents, two horns, or two ages, two epochs, two generations. And we choose the meaning generations, ages, two times, two eras. And he has faith and he has his power. And the Quran describes the two journeys. But then the Quran gives a third journey, which took us to Gog and Magog. And when the Quran took us to Gog and Magog, the Quran then informed us that Gog and Magog would be a people, human beings of course, who will bring the Jews back to the Holy Land to reclaim Jerusalem as their own. This is the Qaryah, Jerusalem. So who are those who brought the Jews back to the Holy Land to reclaim it as their own? It's modern Western civilization. So Gog and Magog are those who control power in the modern West. Gog and Magog are those who control power in the United States of America and are using that power mercilessly to oppress Venezuela. Mercilessly. Oppression upon oppression and oppression to oppress the poor masses of Venezuela. That's those who control power in the United States of America. That's those who control power in the West. And these are the ones who brought the Jews back to the West. So this is Gog and Magog. You don't know that because you don't have time to study the Quran. When I want to teach you the Quran, you don't want to learn from me. You prefer to learn from some other Mawlana, not from me. That's the truth. And so the third journey took us to Gog and Magog. And that's in the Caucasus Mountains. And Dhul-Qarnayn was able to block Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog have power. Such power, only Allah can destroy them. So they dominate the world when they are released. And Zulkarneyn blocked them. He built a barrier. But because it is Karnain, two Karns, there's a second time to come when again they'll be blocked. NATO is going to be blocked a second time. So who is this? Who are these Zulkarneyn who will block NATO the second time? They are people who emerge in the region of the Black Sea. And when they emerge in the region of the Black Sea, you will see power emerging in the Black Sea. Which Orthodox Christian people now dominate power in the Black Sea? Go and study. لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. The same people who long for Hagia Sophia. The same people who are pain and suffering and weeping because of what you did to Hagia Sophia are the same people who are now emerging in the region of the Black Sea with power that even NATO cannot block. And they're going to block NATO in the second Karn. And when they block NATO in the second Karn, then Gog and Magog will no longer be able to go down to Jerusalem. The last of them will now pass by the Sea of Galilee and say there used to be water here. And then a Muslim army will liberate Jerusalem. I'm sorry that I have to cut it short because time is now ending for me. What I've done today in this, my third response, is to try to bring the Quran to the Orthodox Christian world. And I'm not finished yet. I'm trying to explain to you what the Quran has to say about you. And one day, I am confident one day, you will accept that this Quran is indeed the word of the one God. And that Muhammad, Allah's blessings be him, is a prophet of that one God. That does not mean that you have to join me in my ummah and follow Muhammad. That does not mean that you, this is wrong. You can still remain a Christian. You can still follow Jesus and remain my brother. And between us and you, there'll be friendship and alliance because you become closest in love and affection for us. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.